Hello and welcome to Nebraska Prep Zone Report, a podcast from the World Herald. We are sponsored today by MD West One, Nebraska's most advanced sports medicine, orthopedics, neurosurgery, and spine care, covering greater Omaha for over 70 years. I'm your host, Jake Anderson. Joining me to my left, Mike Sauter, and to my right, our extra special guest today, Jacob Padilla of Hale Varsity, covers football, volleyball, everything for them, but is an expert in Nebraska high school hoops as well as football. I swear you've been going to high school basketball games since the Stone Age. We're glad to have you today.
Well, I'm only 27 years old, so not since the Stone Age, but
close.
The question to expert part too.
Yeah, I mean, just because you watch a lot of basketball doesn't necessarily mean you're an expert, but I do my best.
Well, that's my best attempt to talk these guys up. We are going to preview high school basketball today because the season tips off on Thursday, and these two are the most excited people I've seen for high school basketball tipping off. Let's start with the top teams in each class right off the board of Class A.
For me, you have, and I guess we discussed this maybe a little bit. So you have tiers in A. I think there's the top four, and then the next tier, and then the next tier, and then the rest. So Millard North, Omaha Central, Omaha South, Bellevue West are in that top four, kind of that tier by themselves right now. And then the next group is probably your Omaha West Side's in that group. A healthy North Star's probably in the four, like can be up in the four if they're healthy. For me, I put Elkhorn South in that group and the two Papillions in that group. I think those three teams are going to be really good. And Benson's in that somewhere, probably, along with Kearney and Pius. Yeah. And then it's kind of everybody else. So looking at A, that's how I sort of see it, in particular, just to start the year.
Yeah. And I feel the same way, especially with those top four teams. And I think what separates them is, in addition to the top-end talent, I think they're more complete than a lot of other teams in terms of you've got guard play, you've got wings, you've got bigs. You look at Millard North, they probably got the best front court in the state with Max Morrell and Jason Green. You got Tyler Sandoval, you got 6'7", 6'8" kid coming off the bench.
And even, I mean, and Noah Erickson,
6'4".
6'4", whatever.
Real long.
I mean, St. Thomas is, their length and depth is tremendous.
And then you throw out a 1-3-1, you mix it up between man 1-3-1. They're going to cause a lot of problems for teams. And then Bellevue West, you've got John Shanklin inside at 6'7", 6'8" as well, plus Chucky Hepburn and then the Fiddler brothers on the wing.
Right.
So it's another team. And then Central, they have so many guards. But then you look inside, they got three big guys that can rotate in there. And then they got Ted Tutt as well as kind of that connector four, kind of long, can do a lot of things, match up with a lot of different guys. So I think that's what you see from those top four teams. And obviously, they're reigning state champion, Omaha South, and they got a big addition as well. So got a little bit more size in there than maybe they had last year, and now you've got those guards back as well.
It feels like everyone is just, as far as South and Central are concerned, those are the two teams that played for the state title last year. They return a ton. Yeah. And got some additions to make them even better as far as kids just moving here. I think there's maybe a chip on the shoulder a little bit for those guys, just going to their practices and observing and watching what they do or what they have going on. And you're right. I mean, Central's guards are great. Like Max Polk, Latrell Wright, so how many varsity basketball games have those guys played? More than anybody.
Yeah.
Like even more than the South group of three guards and Griggs and Saunders and Skylar Wilson. Yeah. So I mean, those two guards, Reitzel and Polk, are like the most experienced veteran guards, I think, of anyone in the state.
Oh, and then even Abe Hoskins played as a freshman as well. So you got a guy like him just kind of as a role guy, whether you start him off the bench, you can play a lot of different roles, and you got a lot of young guards with PJ Davis and a couple other guys. Like, they've got a lot of depth in that backcourt, and then the size as well to match up, like I said. So yeah, I think those four teams have definitely kind of separated themselves, but they're you mentioned Benson. I think that's kind of an intriguing team for me, is that they've got a chance to make one of the bigger leaps in the state this year if they can put it together and be consistent. I think that's the one question with them, because it's a lot of guys that have kind of been there, worked their way up the program, that have kind of helped build it up, and now it's to the point where you have to be consistent. Can you win? Can you stay emotionally and play smart basketball throughout, kind of stay steady.
And Benson had a nice little kind of start to the season and then just dropped. Yeah. I mean, they just fell. Parmar Watson, when he gets back, he'll be back after – weird because he originally was transferring to Central and then he changed his mind and went back to Benson. So he's probably going to be the starting point guard unless Denham Johnson they had at the point guard the other day at practice. So – and that's intriguing. That's kind of different, right? Because he's always been a post player his whole life. So now you're trying to turn him into a point guard. But he's one of the best athletes.
Him and then Anthony Atkinson Ignowski. Jr., Anthony Ignowski. You've got a lot of length and athleticism there. A couple guys can knock down shots. And you mentioned Denham. He's a guy that can kind of do whatever you ask him to. Heck, he can play the four, can defend the bigs, can play inside. He said he can step out, handle the ball. He's a good passer. So he's kind of one of the more versatile guys in the state, and I think he's a guy that will really drive them this season.
A team prep, I guess. We didn't mention them. And I think they definitely are probably overlooked this year.
I was going to bring them up because I was surprised in that span not to hear Creighton prep.
Right.
And it kind of seems like either they're going to take a step back this year or they're going to be one of your guys' sleeper teams.
They're definitely a sleeper team, I would say. I think, like, they have a bunch of size, big guys. Spencer Shomers is a wing. He's committed to Northwest Missouri State. That's a great fit for him as far as talent-wise and level and all that stuff. He's going to need to have a big year. They'll be better in February and March than they will be in December and January, easily. Like, they need a lot of guys don't have a lot of experience at the varsity level. They lost a lot the last couple of years, a ton. I mean, Nicola Rope graduated, so you got to fill that.
And that's the thing that they're kind of missing is that top-end talent. Spencer Shomer's committed, like you said, to a really good Division II school. Now we'll see can he be consistent as the main guy. That's what he hasn't had to do to this point. He's kind of been a luxury for them. Like, you've got a call. You had Thomas Faber last year. If Spencer went off in a game, they're going to win by a lot. If he didn't, you had some other guys that can pick up the slack. So now Spencer's got to be that guy that's every game is going to show up. And outside of him, they've got a lot of pieces. We'll just see kind of how, like you mentioned, how those guys adjust to the varsity level a lot because their JV team was really good last year. Now a lot of those guys are going to play varsity ball. You got a guy like Justin City, point guard, is a guy, a good athlete, really good passer. What's he going to look like at the varsity level? Brendan Buckley, kind of the same thing, long, just kind of typical prep kid, does a lot of things, can shoot a little bit, can get to the rim a little bit. So they've got a lot of length, like you said, a lot of size inside, a couple different guys that can throw out there. You got A.J. Rollins coming off football.
And he's not even like the big – he was like the tallest guy last year. Now he's like not even close.
Yeah, you got a guy like Luke Jungers as a young guy, as a sophomore that played last year, JV, that will play a role for them this year. So they got a lot of guys. It's just kind of the top-end talent who – do they have enough to compete with those other teams? But they're going to be a good team for sure.
And Pius and Kearney are probably in that group, that second-tier group that we didn't mention, too. But both teams lose a ton of production. Yeah. Charlie Easley and Shiloh Robinson. It's just how does that fit? Like, for Kearney, does Sestro step into that lead score guy or Colin Murray? For Pius, it's Colby Rada. Can he fill that gap of Charlie Easley or – can, like, one of the 17 other kids they have there that all look the same. I think they're going to be one of the more balanced teams for sure this year. Rada's probably the lead dog as far as scoring goes, and then everybody else is kind of could be in that 8, 9, 10 range of points a game and fill that gap.
Yeah, now Colby's going to be that guy for Pius. He's honestly, like, the way he's been shooting the ball since the fall and summer, he's one of the best shooters in the state for sure. And if they can get him some good looks, play off the Hoiberg twins now that have joined the team, really good athletes, smaller, but they can get
bring
in the paint,
a lot of
make
depth
some plays.
In that same guard kind of small forward position. They really don't have positions there, so it's weird.
And Mitchell Shebig is another guy that kind of played a role
big
last
kid.
Year. Will have to be probably their second or third best player this season alongside Rada. So, yeah, they do a great job with that program just every year, kind of building guys up. They're going to have to do it again. Kearney. Those guys are always going to be tough. You mentioned Sestro, you mentioned Colin Murray. Jack Johnson is a guy that's going to take a leap this year and kind of be one of their main guys this season.
He's probably going to be we're going to talk about some breakout guys. Yeah. He's probably a guy on the list that we need to probably didn't I guess I didn't put on there, but he's a guy for sure that people are like, oh, who's that guy? And it's, well, it's Jack Johnson.
Yeah. He's a guy that just kind of does stuff. Like, he's got to get a little bit more consistent, but he rebounds, he passes, he gets to the rim. He can do a lot of things for them. So, yeah, there are a lot of teams that are going to have a chance to make a run this year. You mentioned the two Papio teams. Right. We haven't really touched on them
yet. La Vista, the Monarchs, they're the biggest team in the state without a question.
Yeah.
They're huge. Like, they really are. Like, not just, like, girth, but, like, height. Preston Kellogg is, what, 6'7", and, I don't know, 300, maybe 285, something like that. Huge. But, like, runs the floor well, can get up and down and all that.
Matt Adamek off the bench. Yes. How many guys are, again, Miller North's probably the only one that's bringing a guy that size off the bench.
Right.
You got some young guys. You got Kyle Ingwersen, 6'4", 6'5", can really shoot the ball. Luke Lindenmeyer, kind of the same thing, another big body guy that can shoot.
Players, yeah. They're sophomores now. Yeah,
my main takeaway from this big knowledge dump, and I'm trying to process all of this, is I think you have four locks for the state tournament, and then the race for those last four spots in Class A is going to be very interesting to watch because you could have 16 teams that could make the state tournament.
And we talked about so we mentioned Westside in that second tier group. Yeah. We talked about tall teams. Westside is the exact opposite of that. They're the smallest team as far as the varsity team is concerned, but they are going to play. I went to their practice. They are going to play extremely fast. Everything they did in practice was fast and pace and just quick. And I mean, they have the guards to do that. I mean, Carl Brown's going to be their post, so he's going to have to defend the post. Now on the offensive end, that creates a mismatch because he can shoot it and take you off the dribble and things. But, like, their group of guards with PJ, Nagambi, Jaden Booth, obviously, Chandler Meeks, like, those three dudes are quick and fast. And
Reggie Thomas, Dominic Rizak, they got a lot of guys.
They got a lot of guards. Cal Weideman's coming, like,
Payson Gillespie can shoot the ball. Yes. Like,
they have a lot of guards there. It's just a matter of, like, can they rebound or shoot it? If they shoot it from three over 40% as a team, look out, because, like, they're going to be tough to beat. It's just, can they make that consistent, those shots consistently?
But like like you said, Jay, I think districts are going to be really fun this year. There are going to be some really tough district finals where some really good teams are going to be left out, like kind of like we saw Miller North last year, kind of lose in a heartbreaker like that. I wouldn't be surprised to see a couple district finals go down to the wire like that this year to determine those last few spots.
Definitely. I would say let's talk about the rest of the classes, but I'm worried you guys would miss opening night.
We can hit a couple. Let's just run through B real quick and C1 and stuff.
Let's get the top two, three, and you can check out the rest of Stu Pospisil has the ratings for every class, few capsules, anyprepzone.com. For if we didn't hit your team today, guarantee we have it on anyprepzone.com. Class B?
B is, I think, again, kind of the tiers, right? So you have Scott, Roncalli, Mount Michael I put in that group. Hastings is in that group for me. Then kind of next is Bennington. Wahoo moving to Class B from C1. Wahoo's going to be good. Yeah. They're always good. I don't care if they're moving C1 to B. Now, some of that could be depth and stuff like that, and size can be a difference. Interesting to see just how good Alliance is again this year.
I kind of like Scott's Bluff out west. I think with the pieces they bring back, I think that's kind of they're right there behind that top four that you mentioned.
Sam Clarkson's back. I mean, that's a big body in the middle.
Josiah Diolos, Dawson Moore can really shoot the ball, so they've got enough pieces.
They're always good. They'll always be in that mix. That Alliance Scott's Bluff, like, that might be worth a trip out there for, like, if they play on a week, like if they the Alliance one night and Scott's Bluff Gehring on the other, or something like that. That might be a trip out that way.
But yeah, I think that's kind of the core that you're looking at, those four or five teams there. And then after that, it's wide the heck open. It could be any. I think you could see some new teams, some kind of new blood in Class B this year, making a state tournament run.
Lexington maybe is one.
It's another one.
What about the top of C1?
Well, Auburn, again, they return basically everybody in Cam Binder, have some size too. Ogallala returns everybody, pretty much everybody. Carter Brown's a nice player, nice athlete.
Ashland Greenwood, Cale Jacobson, a couple of the other guys they got coming back last year in the
minor. North Bend's one too. North Bend had a nice football season. A lot of multi-sport kids. Yeah. They'll be in that mix. I mean, obviously they've been pretty good. So,
and I think Kearney Catholic is in that mix as well.
Correct. Yeah.
With Brett Mahoney kind of leading that way, and they got some other good players as
Brett's
well.
Brett's now what, a sophomore? He looks like he's a senior.
Yeah, seriously.
And then, I mean, Adams Central losing Hagen Hilgendorf. We'll see how that big of a dip that is. I think they'll be all right. If not pretty good, and Newman's always good.
And then Lincoln Christian is another. Right. Justin Buback, one of the best players in the class. Yeah. So I think that's a good group there in C1. Okay.
C2, you have BRLD, one of my favorites, Bancroft, Rosalie, Lions, Decatur, they defending champions.
Again, return them? Everybody.
Well, you got the team they beat, UTAN, coming back as well, bringing almost most of their guys back.
BRLD then returns literally everybody. Yeah. So they're the favorite easily.
Yep.
And then UTAN, like you said,
Ponca, I think that's another team with Carter Kingsbury. Yeah. Get him healthy. Yeah. They'll have a chance.
He was cleared earlier in November. So
that's good.
He's back practicing.
All right. Before we get to some new faces to watch, let's take a minute here.
You don't want to go D1, D2 real quick?
D1, D2.
Humphrey Lindsay, Holy Family, returns D1. Everybody. Yes, it returns their top three guys in the Suits, brothers, twins, and brother. They'll be that. They're the favorite again, too. D2, we'll see. Humphrey St. Francis should be pretty good. We'll see the football, kind of how that works. Loomis with Johnson, the shooter, they'll be all right, too.
Sorry. No offense meant to D1 and D2.
Paxton. Paxton with Blake Brewster, the big 6'8 kid. I mean, anytime you have a kid that size at that level is going to be dominant.
If I had a dollar for every time Sauter interrupted me.
Okay, we're good.
We'll take a break here for a message from our sponsor, MD West One.
As the official team doctors for high school and college teams across Greater Omaha, MD West One Sports Med Doctors can get you back into the game stronger than ever. Meet the Sports Med team at mdwestone.com or call 402-390-4111.
Thanks to MD West One. That's mdwestone.com. Let's get into some new faces to watch. I know there's one famous one at Millard North that everyone's going to point to, Jaden Johnson. But who are some others?
Yeah, Jaden Johnson coming over from Abraham Lincoln in Council Bluffs. Huge addition, exactly what they needed at that point guard spot after graduation and transfer and stuff. Colby Fox from Omaha South, 6'5"-ish. Really athletic guy, adds a lot to their front court with Rashawn McNeely, and Rashawn kind of getting back from
they've had a couple injury problems, so he's huge for that.
He's a huge guy. I mean, he's not going to score a bunch, but he's really athletic and can play in the post and give him some depth there. Denier Dempsey is probably the most intriguing behind Jaden Johnson. He moved here from Wichita. He's going to him and Jared Matlin.
Yeah, Papillion La Vista South. He's a transfer there.
South. Yeah. Wing player that can play. He's not Luke Ward. Everyone think, he's not 6'9", but he is a good athlete and looks to be a promising kind of player prospect. Dang Du, for me, is probably the most impactful at Central because he's 6'7". And they needed some size. And he's not just like tall, skinny, 6'7". He's kind of thicker. So, and he affects the game in a lot of ways. One, defensively, he is a talker. The practice I went to, I was impressed with just the way he was calling out screens and all that stuff. I mean, he is that's what college players do, is talk. And frankly, they kind of need someone like that. Those are new kind of the key new faces, I guess, in Class A that people are like, oh, who's that guy? Where'd he come from? All that stuff.
Yeah,
did I miss anyone?
I think you hit on kind of the big names there as far as kind of like out-of-state transfers there. I think Johnson was going to be huge for Millard North, obviously, like you said, perfect.
He's such a good passer, too.
Yeah, but Dempsey, I think, is probably the most intriguing for me because I think he's got that chance to elevate Papillion La Vista South into that next tier behind that top group.
Right.
He's a guy 6'7", can block shots, can also step out and shoot a little bit. So he can do a lot of different things. You've got him as a pick-and-roll target to go with Jared Matley. Then they've got some other guys like Graham Kasun and Daniel Brocale, a couple other guys that can really play hard.
Dudes, kids that play hard. Like Daniel Brocale's most impressive thing is just he plays hard.
Yeah. So they got some pieces there, and he's kind of the part that'll bring it together, kind of elevate him.
If we could circle back to Millard North real quick, because I know no one is going to talk about the Mustangs enough this season. They're not going to get any coverage at all. Can we talk about how that team fits together? Because we mentioned Jaden Johnson, fantastic passer, point guard leader for them. Who is kind of that team's alpha dog? Who's the go-to scorer when things are rough? They have a lot of talent. How do the pieces fit together? Does everybody kind of know their role?
It needs to be Hunter.
It's got
to
be Hunter.
It needs to be Hunter. Hunter Salas has to take that, like, give me the ball.
Yes.
Like, in those situations. I'm not sure they're going to have that many of them. Yeah. But in those situations, he needs to be the guy, and he's more than capable.
Yeah, and that's kind of like last year he made that leap from he played a little bit as a freshman. It wasn't a big part. Last year he averaged 18 a game, made that huge leap. But you can see there were times where he kind of just drifted through the game, and they didn't really force feed him, and he didn't go demand the ball. And I think that's kind of he's got to be that guy that's consistently anytime they hit a little rut, he's got to be the guy that goes and makes a play.
They need to get Max touches and involved too.
You run a two-man game.
Yeah,
with Hunter Salas and Max.
Some pick and roll with that.
Yes.
Right?
That'll be borderline unstoppable.
Yeah, catching lobs all day long.
or even Jason Green too is another guy. Like, how do you keep all those guys involved and all that? But I think if they're winning enough, it won't matter. But if they get in those situations, to answer the question, the crunch time guy. Yeah. Probably Hunter's going to have the ball in his hands, I'm guessing.
Yep.
And he's, like I said, more than capable of doing it. The other night, they started St. Thomas.
Yeah, that's what I've been telling you. That's kind of how they're going to do it. He's kind of the glue guy there. He's a really good passer out there on the wing. They'll have him run on the point a little bit when Johnson's out. He's a guy that can really rebound the ball, can score occasionally when you need it. So you got him kind of as that connecting piece between the big four names. And then you've got a guy like Tyler Sandoval coming off the bench.
Yes.
6'7", 6'8", kid.
Anybody
he's
going to
attract
state,
some D1 interest.
Yeah.
Down
anybody
the line.
In the state would love to have that kid as their starting post center, whatever. Anybody in the state. Besides Miller North, because they have like a 6'9".
Stanford commit, yeah.
Yeah, I mean like.
But he's one of the two or three most improved players in the state over the last year, I'd say,
right.
Sandoval.
No question.
Stu Pospisil in his preview column had a note from the Boys Town coach, quote from him saying, Millard North's second team would be above 500 in Metro play.
It's probably true.
It speaks to what you guys are saying, the talent on that team. But again, as I alluded to, we're going to talk enough about the Mustangs. I was curious about that fit. Jacob, any names to watch for breakout season?
I think maybe the most impactful will probably be Frankie Fiddler, wing at Bellevue West. Lewis Fiddler kind of broke out last year and was real solid. I think he'll take another step up. His older brother is a senior now. Frankie's a junior. He grew, 6 inches?
Like a year.
Yeah, he basically only played JV last year. He averaged one point a game. He sat on the varsity bench but never really played because they had so much depth. But he got buckets on the JV team and then continued to grow. Mm-hmm. And now he's 6'6", 6'7". Omaha offered him.
He's a 3-4 with a 1-2 skills.
Yeah.
Like he can really good passer and can shoot it and all those things.
Real crafty around the basket. So he's a guy you have both of Fiddler brothers probably be double-digit scorers this year, along with Hepburn and then Shanklin inside kind of cleaning up and finishing at the rim. So I think he's probably the biggest name to watch out for this year of guys that didn't make an impact last year varsity that – will shape the kind of race in Class A this year.
For me, I have Greg Brown. I think he led Omaha Burke in scoring last year, but I think they're going to need more from him. Him and Jaron Marshall both are going to have to take steps. But I think Greg, he's so offensively. I mean, he's like it's gifted is probably the right term. Yep. I mean, it's not. You know, he just is. You can tell he works on his game. He can score every way.
6'6", long arms, real crafty, can shoot, get to the rim, pass, step backs
and stuff. Hey, by the way, there are going to be a lot of step back jump shots, like James Harden-esque things, that people are going to see this year in high school basketball. It hasn't hit quite yet, but this year definitely going to see that.
So what you're saying is the fans are going to be screaming travel.
Yes. There's going to be a lot of it.
A couple other names real quick. I want to circle back to it. Maybe involve was better under new faces. The Hoiberg twins, I think, Jacob, you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Can you guys talk a little bit about what they'll bring? Because I think people will see the name Hoiberg,
They're not like as good as
Sam and
get.
Charlie are their names. They're twins. They're 5'9".
Yeah.
Hey, you go to a game, watch their layup lines, though. Yeah. They will get up and throw it down. Right. Like, those guys are really good athletes. And
they're, like, physical. Play hard. Yeah. They play all the right way. Like,
yeah.
All that.
And then on the fall league, they kind of staggered those guys a lot. So they played one with the starting group, one with the backup group, and kind of had them as kind of like combo guards. They had them handle the point a little bit, played off the ball a little bit. So they're just guys that good athletes that know how to play basketball and will be able to kind of get a guy like Kobe Rada open shots, get a guy like Mitchell Shebeg open shots, and kind of just be that kind of that little spark plug energy type of guys.
Definitely. Yeah. How about some top games to circle on the calendar this season? We have the full schedule. Believe me, that full schedule was a labor of love. We have the full schedule for every team in every class on anyprepzone.com. How about some dates to circle on the calendar beyond the opening week? I know you guys want to talk Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So why don't you open with that?
Yeah. The Metro tournament's always a big deal, but this weekend is the OPS Jamboree. I think is interesting, intriguing, I guess. Specifically, if looking at the bracket, if it's South and Central on Monday night at Gretna in the OPS Jamboree final, that's a pretty good game to open the season ish with. North and who's North play? Shoot, I missed. Slipping on that, but the 3-4 Central plays Millard South, and then Gretna is in it. Gretna Burke is the 3-6 game or whatever. I like that game. I think that there's a lot to kind of watch and see how good Gretna can be. I think Gretna is going to be at least 500 in A. I think they're that.
Yeah,
good.
Just strength on the coaching. Some of the guys they got coming back. They're going to be a tough out every game. They're going to be tough to deal with. And then we mentioned Benson. They'll have a chance to kind of make some noise this opening weekend. In that, it's the nine team.
They play Northwest and Benson Northwest is Thursday, and then the winner of that plays South on Friday.
Yeah, so they'll get a chance right off the bat to kind of say, hey, make a statement there if they get it through that first round and get a chance against South. So that'll be fun this opening weekend. The game that I'll probably be at, looking over in Class B, potentially be a state final preview, is Omaha Scut at Elkhorn Mount Michael. And
that should be a good one.
Mount Michael, this year and next, they've got a couple of seniors that are kind of bringing some depth, but they've got their entire core are all juniors. They've got 5, 6, 7, 8 juniors that played together last year, had a really good season, and now I think they're looking to make that leap, led by Brad Bennett and Joe Chunard. Caleb Brink on the inside is probably the most fundamentally sound postman. I mean, there aren't a lot of guys who know how to score in the post, and he can do it. Yeah, and then Iron Lopez at the point. So, and then you've got a couple guys coming off the bench. Like, they've got a lot of depth in just that junior class. So this
I was at their practice on Monday. Like
one of their senior.
Better. He's gotten better.
Yeah. So that's the team that will make some noise this year, and then be able to make it as well next year. But going up against Scut right out of the bat, you got Tyson Gorin, you got Andrew Murfeld, you got these guys. We'll see how what kind of basketball shape they're in coming off that state football run. That's always rough, but. Yeah, they certainly got enough pieces coming back to be a big factor in Class B.
Wahoo Bennington is the opening night game at Bennington. That's always a tough environment, specifically opening night. There'll be a lot of people there.
It's a big welcome to Class B there for Wahoo.
It's a tough gym to play in too. It's small and loud. Can be really loud. It's Bryan North is the game I missed. Those two play each other. So pretty fun weekend ahead, I think.
One that I've got circled on my calendar that is 2 months out, more than 2 months out. Bellevue West, Millard North.
Yes.
February 14th. How about that for a Valentine's Day special? Yeah, sorry, I can't go out to dinner tonight. I got to go watch high school basketball game.
Probably going to be me.
Hey, Katie.
I'll probably be right there with you. How about that as a lead in right before district play? Maybe the top two teams in the state?
That whole stretch like of the
schedule.
Yeah,
they have that 5-game stretch there where, you know, you back that one up with IMG in Grand Island. Then I think that Monday or Tuesday night they play North Star or something.
Yeah.
And then Central's in that mix too of five games from Illinois. That five game stretch is tough for them. Or as tough as it's going to get.
I was going to say that might be tougher than a state tournament run at this point, which just in terms of
correct.
The teams you'll play.
I agree. Like, I think that's true.
Especially with IMG mixing there. So, yeah, that we're going to learn a lot about just how good Millard North is at that end of the stretch.
Right.
But, yeah, that's kind of crazy that we're going to get that kind of a game that close to the postseason where mm-hmm. we're probably going to see a couple rematches, have a chance to see some of those teams play each other again. So
Metro tournament's going to be pretty fun, I think. And that, the Thursday opening, the team pod tournament thing, the Southwest Millard West Prep Pius. That's pretty fun. Those are our Thursday night at Lincoln Southwest. Southwest Millard West is at Southwest, and then Prep Pius is at Pius. That could be a very interesting game. And then the winner of that will play at 6:45 at Prep. So like on Saturday. So you could really get four nice games in there: the two Metro semis, and then the third place game in the third place game and the championship game, I guess, of this little four-team pot. That's four nice games.
Nice way to open the season. Get some really good matchups here.
Yeah, it's a pretty good Saturday.
I think I am prepared for high school basketball season. And after listening to all of that, my head is still spinning trying to follow up all of that on the rosters. So I know we went a little bit long today, but it was worth it for all this. I want to thank Jacob for joining us. Hopefully he'll be able to come back later this season, preview some more games, more teams for us. Thanks again to our sponsor, MD West One, mdwest1.com, Nebraska's most advanced sports medicine, orthopedics, neurosurgery, and spine care covering Greater Omaha for over 70 years. Be sure to check out Stoop Hospital's Mike Patterson's preview coverage on anyprepzone.com. All of that is fantastic. Ratings, players to watch, team capsules, preview columns, and check out all of our game coverage from those two and Sauter opening weekend and beyond. Thanks for listening.